If you will turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13, I will get there in a moment. Genesis chapter 13. We're all faced with choices every day that are going to impact our future. They're going to impact the future that are around us. Many, many years ago, when I was a young preacher, I had a young man who was 19 years old that professed Christ as his Savior. Came into the church. God really worked a good work of grace in his life. And there was evidence of his growing in grace. He was being discipled by one of the other young men in the church and was really growing in the things of the Lord and was passing out tracts, witnessing to his unsaved family. As a matter of fact, his younger sister, he brought to church, and she trusted Christ as her Savior also. And she was being discipled by one of the ladies in the church. And then this young man, there's a whole long story about it, and I don't have time to go into that. But I'm just going to share briefly that he made a wrong choice. One wrong choice. He was a baby Christian, and he chose not to go to church one Sunday night. And circumstances that embroiled all around that, while he was, when he was supposed to be in the evening service, in the church service, he wasn't there. And he died. Tragic, tragic, sad, sad story of death. It wasn't that he was doing anything bad, but he died a very, very tragic death just because of that little decision to not go to church that night. The young man that was discipling him stopped by that night and said, Jim, come on, let's go to church. And he said, no, I'm not going. His disciple said, no, come on, don't be silly. Let's go. You don't have anything going on. No, I'm not going. And he had gotten a black eye that weekend, and he said, no, I'm not going to have everybody teasing me about getting a black eye. And he said, forget it. That's no big deal. Just make a joke out of it and go on. Nope, I'm not going. By midnight, he was dead. He was gone. Had another guy in the church that in the church in Vermont that was a young man, had a young family, and Mark and his family were growing in the Lord. His kids were in our Christian school, and they were happy. And so forth, and he came in to see me one day, and just out of the blue, and he said, oh, by the way, Pastor, he said, we'll be moving in 2 weeks. I said, really? Where to? He said, we're moving to Texas. I said, well, what's precipitating that? He said, well, my wife got a promotion. She works for Costco, and he said, she got a healthy promotion. And he said, my job wasn't going anywhere, so he said, I can find a job anywhere. So he said, we're moving to Texas. And I said, really? I said, Mark, have you prayed about it? Is this the will of God? Is this what God wants you to do? He said, well, Pastor, he said, it's a substantial raise that my wife is getting. And he said, my wife decided that she wants that job and she wants that promotion. He said, we're moving in 2 weeks. I said, okay. They moved to Texas, and I tried to warn him, but he didn't listen. They moved to Texas, and another long story that's made short is that their marriage ended within just a year or two after moving to Texas. but it was all related to the job at Costco, and she left her family, she left her boys, she left her husband for someone that she was working with. Bad decision ended in disaster. As church secretary, it was a good secretary in another church that I was in, and she was a good little secretary. She helped us in the office and was a good laborer and faithful. And one day she came in and she said, "Pastor, I'm giving you my notice." She said, "I'll give you a 2-week notice." And she said, "I'm going to take another job." And I said, "What is this all about, Sandy? Are you not happy?" "Oh no," she said, "I love my job and I love what we're doing." And she said, "I love being part of all of that." But she said, "I got offered a job for a lot more money." And she said, "I'm not going to be a church secretary anymore. I'm going to go into the secular field, secular world." And she made that decision. That decision affected her children and affected her family and ultimately resulted in disaster for all of them by that job. You see, we're all faced with choices every day. And bad choices can lead to disastrous results. God gave us a free will, but we can choose how we are going to make those decisions. Now, I know I had you turn to Genesis, but I want to read the commentary on what we're going to talk about in Genesis from 2 Peter. You don't need to turn there. Just listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "And God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked," that is, the filthy behavior of the people that he was around. It says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." The decision of Lot to move his family near Sodom and Gomorrah is what we're talking about in Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. That decision had a tremendous impact on his family and on their lives. And the decisions that we make, the little decisions, this little decision, not going to church, that for one service, taking a job promotion, or moving to a different business, a different, all of those things impact our lives beyond what we can imagine and even think. And Lot is a great example of that. Lot was a believer. Peter said he was just Lot. He was a believer. He was a righteous man, that passage says. That is, he was a believer. He was a child of God. But children of God make wrong decisions or dumb decisions sometimes, and we must always be aware of it. Let's pray. Father, tune us in now. Tune us in, O God, to our own lives. And Holy Spirit of God, give us your wisdom, your direction, and teach us from your word that which is true and right and just and beneficial for us and for your glory, O God. Guide us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, who was this? Who was this Lot? And what happened with him? Who was Lot in the Bible? Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31, "And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran, and they dwelt there." So Lot was the nephew of Abraham. He was this one that came from a rich heritage, and he was one who believed God's covenant. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, Lot was one who believed God's covenant upon his uncle, Abraham. And so Lot was one that moved with his uncle and followed the Lord's leading and was one who was willing to go forward. Verse 4 says, so Lot departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, or Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So Lot traveled with his uncle, stepped out by faith, believed what God was doing in Abraham's life, and was following after him, and he was blessed of God for it. The Bible here says in verses 5, 6, verses 5 and 6 of chapter 12, and Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that the Lord had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land into the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh. And so Abraham was with him, and as God blessed Abraham for following God's leading, God blessed Lot and directed Lot. So Lot knew the blessings of the Lord and the working of God. And then Lot faced a major decision in chapter 13 and verse 9. The Bible talks about Lot, and it says that Lot grew up, and he had flocks, and God blessed his flocks and their substance. The Bible says, verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, or was so great, so that they could not dwell together. They were both abundantly blessed. And the Bible here is talking about those wonderful blessings that was the cause of Abraham or of Lot's wrong decisions. Oftentimes, that's what happens in our lives: is that God blesses us, and because of that, we make wrong decisions. Because of that, and that's what happened with Lot. He had these wonderful material blessings. The Bible here is telling us that Lot and Abraham were blessed of God for obeying God. And God blessed them so richly that is one of the things that led to him making wrong decisions. Believer, beware when God blesses us, because those blessings can then be the catalyst to making wrong decisions, or selfish decisions at least. So the Bible here talks about that, that Lot went with Abraham. The land was not able to bear them, because their substance was so great, so that they could not dwell together. It created a problem. And so another cause for Lot to make wrong decision was his mundane battles. And verses 7 and 8 says that there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. God had blessed them, and so Abraham and Lot didn't have a problem, but their herdsmen did. And it caused them to have this conflict, this business conflict, that they were going to have to rectify. And that then led to the problems of, there were the Canaanites and the Perizzites that dwelled in the land also. So the enemies of the people of God were the Canaanites and these Perizzites that were there. They saw that Abraham and Lot have this problem going on. And so what do they do is that they jump in and the enemy causes conflicts and kind of multiplies the stress and the pressure of the whole situation between Abraham and Lot's herdmen, and it caused a family problem. And so Abraham said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren." So Abraham treats this biblically and godly, and he said, look, don't let there be a problem between us. And so Abraham is then going to suggest a resolution to this problem of how to deal with having too much blessing, having too much cattle. And so he says, "Is not the whole land before us, before thee and before us? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. For if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, I will go to the left." So Lot is given a choice by his uncle Abraham. And he says, "You go to the right, take your crops and so forth, and you go that way, and I'll take mine, and we'll go this way, and that ought to resolve the problem. And our herdsmen won't be fussing with each other." And so Abraham now has a choice that he has to make. Let me just stop here for a minute. When you have choices like that, how do you make those choices? Look to see in the way that that Lot made choices, to see if that's the way you make choices, because those choices will have an impact on your life and on your family. So what were his considerations in his choice making? That's what we're talking about today, is making godly choices. So notice in verse 10, Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, and the Bible talks about how he looked at things from an earthly viewpoint. Lot lifted up his eyes and he beheld all the plain. He could go to the right or he could go to the left. He lifted up his eyes. He beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. So Lot then is looking from an earthly view and he's saying, "What's the best deal here?" And he looks and he sees the plain of Jordan, that is the valley that is well watered, and that it is this nice place to be. Have any of you ever been to Bakersfield? Anybody ever been to Bakersfield? Okay, you know when you come off of the vine and you come down that mountain and you're driving in and you look out as you're coming down the mountain, and you look out and you see that valley, and it's just full of crops that are growing. That's really a breadbasket for California in a crop growing area. That's the way the Jordan Plain was, and so Lot looks at that and says, "That looks like the best deal to me. It is the best. It is the plain of Jordan. It's well watered. It is a prosperous area. And if I choose that for my cattle, that will be the best place for it to grow." So he has this earthly view of that thing, and it is enticing. Notice that it is well watered everywhere. So this is definitely the best deal. So when you're making a decision, are you looking, what's the best deal? What's the best deal for me? Remember the family that moved to Texas? It was the best deal for them financially to move to Texas. for that. But was it the best deal for them? Ultimately, was it the will of God for them? Lot made his decision, his bad decision, based upon this earthly view. It was also an enjoyable place. Notice that it says that this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So even as the Garden of Eden, this place was. It was an enjoyable place. It was like the Garden of Eden. I mean, when he looked at that, he saw how lush was the land, how black was the soil, how prosperous it was, how well watered it was. Not a desert place in any way, was like the Garden of the Lord or the Garden of Eden. It was an enjoyable place. And so Lot was making his decision based upon what he could see and the way that things appeared to him. And the Bible says it was an enviable place. It was like the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt had the big Nile River that ran through it. And from that, there were tributaries that went off, and it caused that land to be built. And then from the tributaries, the Egyptians made canals, kind of like they have out here. We have in Arizona also. And it made it an enviable place for Lot. And so Lot said, yes, this looks like the best deal. This is the place that we're going to go this way. He's making his decision based upon that earthly view. So his choices were also influenced by his earthly values. And so Lot is making those values. The Bible says in the very next verse, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. That is, he chose what looked best for him. See, that's not the way to make a decision for a major decision for our life, or even little decisions. Our decisions must be, listen now, based upon what is the will of God. You say, does God care about whether or not I go to church tonight? You bet! Everything in our life is under the direction of the Lord God. He is omniscient. He knows what is best for us. Amen. He desires what is best for us. That's why we are told in the New Testament that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. That's why it says in the book of Galatians, we are supposed to be led by the Spirit. That's why it says that we are supposed to, in Ephesians, we are supposed to be filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. That's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He is the gyroscope of our life that is seeking to give us direction and guidance and leadership and the guidance of God. But Lot chose the plain of Jordan based upon what he could see. And when we make decisions in that vein of light, it almost always leads us into the wrong direction. The Bible then goes on to talk about how that Lot journeyed east. He went the exact wrong direction from where God was wanting him to go. Remember, he was younger than Abraham. Abraham might have been able to go that direction and avoid all the problems that that Lot went. But Lot journeyed east. You know, the Bible, the words that the Bible uses are inspired of God. Every word of God is inspired of God. That means it is God-breathed. And so every word of the Scripture is given to us to teach us. Lot then, when he went east instead of going the other direction or another direction, he went away from Abraham. Abraham was his mentor. Abraham was his teacher. Abraham was that one that had guided him, that had brought him all this way. It was because of Abraham that Lot had been prospered of God. Now Lot is going to move as far away as he can to the east to get away from his mentor. And it was a wrong decision. The Bible here says that he journeyed east and that he separated himself from Abraham and those that were going to influence him for God. Remember the folks that moved to Texas? They didn't know anybody in Texas. They were moving from a Christian school, a church where they were growing in the Lord, where their kids were really getting the spiritual things in the youth group and the things of God. And they gave all of that up to move to Texas where they didn't know anybody. They didn't have a church. They didn't have that support group. They didn't have that mentorship. And it was disastrous. Same thing happened to Lot. He was making this decision to move toward Sodom, and he was only thinking of himself. He wasn't thinking about what God desired. We have no indication that Lot prayed about it and called out to God and said, "Oh Lord, what should I do in this situation?" We have no indication that Lot asked counsel and said to his uncle Abraham, "Well, what do you think is the best thing for me to do? Well, where do you think that I should go?" He was just making this decision based upon what he wanted, what he saw, and what he thought was going to be the best thing. There was no concern at all for the will of God. Our decisions must be based on what God says, on what God wills, on what God is guiding us in our in every direction of our life. But Lot violated by this earthly violation. And verse 12 says, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain of Jordan, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And in that, it led to all kinds of problems because the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot was leaving that place of protection, that place of mentorship, that place of growing and God's blessing, and was choosing rather this place amongst the people of Sodom. But it was an inviting city. Remember, it was the cities of the plain that he was journeying toward. And it was a gradual change. I want you to notice this, that Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And notice this now, because remember, every word of the Bible is inspired. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. He didn't move into Sodom. He moved close to Sodom because the valley was so lush and because it looked so good. And so he said, "Yeah, I've heard about those guys over in Sodom, and that might not be good. But it looks so good to move in that direction." But he moved in the wrong direction, and he got to that place. But it was a gradual decision. Our decisions ultimately are affected and are moving the direction. Listen to this. Something that I've learned as a pastor is it's not where you're standing that is important about the future. It's the direction you're pointing. Because the direction you're pointing is, even if you're in the right position, and sometimes we say, "Well, I'm standing steadfast and right." Yeah, today, but where are you pointing? Lot was pointing in the wrong direction. He was headed toward and he moved toward Sodom, and he was going to be destroyed by going in that direction, because the direction you're pointing is the direction that you're ultimately going to go. Unless you change something, you're going to go in that direction. And that's what got Lot into trouble. And that's what gets us into trouble a lot of times, is that we're pointing in the wrong direction. And eventually, the Bible tells us that Lot ended up in Sodom. Because that's what happens in our lives. The Bible says about them that this was a sinful journey for Lot, because the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners. It was a sinful journey. The word wicked there is a word that means that they were morally corrupt. They were sinners. They were disobedient to the Lord, to God's word. And the Bible says that they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That means to the lowest degree. These were people that were what we would call today the scumbags of the earth. And Lot had made the choice to move in that direction, and then, because he didn't change that direction, he moved closer and even closer and even moved closer to that wrong decision and the way that it led. So what were the consequences of Lot's decisions? Notice chapter 14, verse 12. He moved into Sodom, and they took Lot. One of the decisions was while Lot was in that area, it was a dangerous area, and I think that God was trying to warn Lot, trying to get him to turn around and get out of there, but Lot wasn't listening. Are you like this? You make a decision, and you say, well, I made the decision, and I think it was the right decision, and so I'm not going to turn around from it. All the warning signs are bing, 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 turn around, get out of here, change direction. But Lot didn't do it. I think he was really a lot like us. And so I think God was trying to intercede. Notice what the scripture says. So this happened to Lot. They, in chapter 14, verse 12, they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318 of them, pursued them unto Dan. And he brought back all the goods also, brought back again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So here's his mentor again, and he rescues him, and he goes after Lot, who's been captured by the wicked and evil people, and carried his stuff all the way. And Abraham gets his little small army of all of his servants, and he goes after him, 318 of them. That's a small army. And he goes after them and captures everything of Lot's and Lot. And all the people that were in Lot's household that had been captured, and Abraham rescues them miraculously by the hand of God and works in them in a wonderful way. Abraham risks everything to rescue his brother or his nephew Lot. And what a picture that is of brotherly love and of the love of God for someone. And he goes running in, and what did Lot do? Abraham rescues him, brings him back, salvages everything. Lot doesn't lose anything. He sees the miraculous hand of God. And Lot goes right back to Sodom, because that was the choice that he had made. God tried to wise him up. God tried to work in his life, but he wouldn't listen. Do you ever get stubborn with God? I think that I sometimes get stubborn with God because I'm a German. And my wife says my father was the most stubborn man she ever knew in her life. And Germans are known for being stubborn. And I can be very, very stubborn. And I think that Lot must have had some German blood in him. But anyway, even after all of that, where did Lot return to? Well, because he was insensitive to sin, and the sin that was about him, the Bible says, before they lay down, the men of the city, he moved right back to Sodom. The men of the city, this is chapter 19 now, even the men of Sodom compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men which come in to thee this night? Now these many Bible teachers believe that these were angels that God sent that to Lot, and that they had come to Lot's house to rescue him because God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was so wicked, it was such a vile place, and God was sent these angels to rescue Lot again and his family, to carry them out of Sodom and Gomorrah because God was going to rain down fire and brimstone and destroy the city of God, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their perversion. But Lot was insensitive even to that. Didn't recognize these as the hand of God. He was insensitive to the perversion that was around him because he had gotten used to it. His eyes had gotten used to the darkness of the sin. He had become insensitive to how wicked the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were. And all the time, God was trying to wake him up. So God had to send angels to him. And even when God sent the angels to him, Lot was not awake, let's say, to it all. The Bible says in chapter 19, verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So his daughters had married, and he tried to warn them about what the angels told him, but his sons-in-law didn't get it. They mocked him. They laughed at him because he had been there, and he was in that city. Chapter 15, verse 17 says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men, that is the angels, laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So God was speaking to Lot, and Lot was so insensitive that the angels had to take him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand and drag them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so, even though they knew what God said was going to happen, they were saying, oh, but we need to get this, and we need to take this with us, and we need to pack up that, and we need to take these things. And God said, no, get out now! And he picked them up, and they literally dragged them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the idea of what is happening here, because of that insensitivity. Making wrong decisions can be disastrous indeed. And the Bible tells about how irresponsibility had worked in Lot's family because of his decisions. And those decisions then affected his wife. The one that he loved more than anyone else in the world, the one that was closer to him than anyone else in the world, the one that he loved, it affected his his life, because when the angels left, they said to the family, "Don't look back." Remember, they're being dragged away, and the angels are saying to them, "And don't look back to the city." But verse 26 says that his wife, Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That is, his decision affected his wife. You know why? Because she lost respect for him. The decisions that he had made, he had taken her there. He had brought her into this place. The whole family had been affected by those decisions of those ungodly and those wicked, exceedingly wicked people that they lived amongst. And his wife had lost respect for him. No greater loss to a man than the respect of his wife. There's nothing that a man, by the way, ladies, that your husband wants more from you than your respect. Ephesians bears that out, and we could go into that, it's a whole other story. But the one thing that Abraham lost from his wife was his respect. And so when the angel said, "Don't look back," his wife was used to disobedience. They had made the wrong decisions. They had avoided God when God was telling them and rescued them a couple of times and tried to teach them and tried to help them, and they had become insensitive. And so his wife, she had become insensitive to the things of God. And so when the angel said, "Don't look back," she just naturally looked back. And when she did, God had to judge her. And Lot was responsible for his family's wrong decisions. It also affected his daughters, because the Bible goes on to talk to us about the rest of the tragedy of making wrong decisions for God, because they do affect our children. Those that we love second most in all of the world, and that's our precious, precious children. And Lot had two daughters, and the Bible said, "Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father." His poor decisions affected the future generations of his family, because Lot, after his wife turned to a pillar of salt, naturally went into a season of depression, and he and the girls then went to this cave, and they had seen the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah with the fire and brimstone in the distance, and then the wife is turned to this pillar of salt. And so now Lot and his daughters are witnessing all of that. And chapter 19, the Bible says, Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for they feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So he is there. His daughters are in depression. They have left everything. They have lost everything. Now the mother has died, and they have seen it firsthand. And so they're dwelling in this cave. And verse 31 says, "The firstborn daughter said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed with our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she rose. And it came to pass in the morrow that the firstborn said, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine in this night also, and go thou in and lie, and you lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink white wine that night also, and the younger arose and dwelt with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. This is the family of righteous Lot. How did he get there? How does that happen? in a believer's life? How does that happen in a family that has known the blessing of God, has seen the covenant of God, has seen the direction and the guidance of God, and been mentored by someone like Abraham? Wrong decisions. Incrementally, little decision by little decision by little decision that leads to great disasters. And so here is Lot now, whose wife is dead, who's lost everything, and now his two precious daughters are pregnant by their father. Incest. How could it be? Because of the wrong decisions, and that lead in our life to all kinds of disaster. And the younger daughter and the older daughter, both of them follow their dad in making wrong decisions, and Lot's poor decision making causes great loss and disaster. Lost opportunities for the Lord. What do you think the people of that area, who knew who Lot was, who had seen Lot's, the blessing of God in his life, what do you think that they all thought of the Lord when they saw Lot, just Lot, the righteous Lot, the one who was the one who lifted up the hand of God? What do you think they thought? It ruined the reputation of the Lord. Will you listen to me for just one more minute? When we make decisions, ungodly decisions, selfish decisions, it embarrasses our God. And the world looks at it and says, I thought they were a Christian. I thought that they went to that Baptist church. I thought that they went to that Christian school. The world expects more of us. God expects more of us. And Lot lost his family. It led to all kinds of disaster. Let me close with this story. This is a historical story, true story from our nation's history. Back in colonial days, a young student was at Princeton University. Did you know Princeton University used to be a Bible preaching institution? It really was. And they had a revival meeting going on in Princeton University. And for several days and several nights, the students would go there for this revival meeting, just kind of like what happens in Christian colleges now. And this young man, who was a student there, went to the meetings, and he was impressed by the message that he was hearing about Christ. And so as he left one night, the third night of the meetings, a Christian professor, can you imagine a Christian professor at Princeton University today? But anyway, this Christian professor, this is a long time ago, said, Burr, if God is speaking to you, you better respond to his call. Go to your room and settle this matter with God. And so Aaron Burr went to his room, and at last, he left his room, and he just happened to see the professor, the same professor, as he came out. And Aaron Burr, the professor said, Burr, did you get it settled with God? And Aaron Burr said this, I settled it with God. I told him that if he would let me alone, I would let him alone, and that settles it. You know what the history is about Aaron Burr? Aaron Burr was greatly qualified to be a leader in our country. He was a grandson of Jonathan Edwards, the famous preacher. At the age of 35, he was elected one of the youngest members of Congress, of the young Congress in America. In the election of 1800, Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr were tied for the presidency. Talk about close elections, and there was a deciding vote that settled it, and by that deciding vote, Aaron Burr did not become the president. Thomas Jefferson became the president of the United States. And sometime after that, Aaron Burr challenged Alexander Hamilton, who is another one of our early colonial fathers, to a duel, and Aaron Burr shot and killed Alexander Hamilton, which made Burr an outcast, a social outcast, and he was viewed by that, and so he fled the country and went to Europe and lived in Europe for four years on borrowed money. He finally came back to the young United States, and he practiced law for 20 years, but he died in poverty, a broken and a disillusioned man, because of that decision that he made that night as a student. He said, "I made that decision. I told God, I'll let you alone and you let me alone." And God did. The decisions that we make have eternal consequences as well as temporal consequences. They did for Lot and they do for us. And the greatest decision that one can make is that decision to trust Christ as their Savior. Aaron Burr made the absolute wrong decision. Don't make that decision. Trust Jesus. Come to Christ. He came here to die on the cross for our sins. He was crucified and paid the price for your sins and for mine. He was buried and he rose again to prove that he's the Son of God. Believe on him. Trust him. Come to him as Savior. Don't make the wrong decision, because this one is the decision for all eternity. Heaven or hell is decided for your life. And the decision that you make with what will you do with Jesus. Father, as we come to thee, we ask, O God, that if there's someone who's not yet settled that decision, may today be the day that they would come to you in saving grace, O God. We pray it in Jesus' name.